sports and politics.
You wanna get ready to rumble?
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, and I am here to provide you with the great, great set of information. It's the Saturday edition, and when I say Saturday edition, I mean the fun edition, mainly because myself and my co-host JT will bring in the new year for you with a brand new spanking episode, and we're going to discuss in great detail the NFL playoff matchups that's gone on today or will be happening shortly, as well as tomorrow. There are four games, four matchups that we're going to discuss. We're going to talk about the Cowboys versus the Lions, Panthers versus Cardinals, Steelers versus Ravens, and Colts versus Bengals. Now, each one of these matchups has a underlying story. The plan is to discuss the stories within the games. That's what a lot of people don't understand about the media. They're not just reporting on the event. A really good journalist will find the story within the event that talks about or has an impact on the event. So that's what our plan is today. Also, one of Jerry's not-so-favorite subjects, but is a favorite subject of mine, we're going to discuss a little MMA, mixed martial arts, in particular, this very, very heated and explosive rivalry between two MMA fighters that are going to fight tonight. We're talking about John Bones Jones, who is the light heavyweight champion, taking on Daniel DC Cormier. DC is a undefeated guy. Was in Strikeforce, did a lot of damage, won the title and stuff like that. He actually helps train the UFC's, well, I don't know if he said the heavyweight champion or the intern, I don't know what to call him anymore, but Cain Velasquez. He and Cain Velasquez are really good friends as well as training partners. Both these men are wrestlers, Cain Velasquez and Dan Cormier, so they push each other. Now, the fight that's going to happen tonight between Jones and Cormier, they're both wrestlers as well, but there's a disrespectful taste in both of their mouths. I don't know if you followed this this drama, so to speak, in this matchup, but between the two, DC and John Jones. Now, it's supposedly explosive. It's supposedly. But just like a lot of these very hyped up, very aggressive pre-fight events that go on, sometimes the fight itself does not pay off. Oftentimes in boxing, that's the case. Oftentimes in mixed martial arts, it happens too. It really does. Especially when you have two wrestlers getting into the cage. And that's what these two are. DC's a wrestler, along with John Jones. We're going to talk about that today. And we got a whole lot more in store as we prep you for 2015. This plans to be a very, very good year for myself, for JT, for everybody else. Right now I'm waiting for JT to call in. As soon as he calls in, we'll jump into it with him. But You can catch this show right here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHPK all the time with our archives. It's I think, about 5 years worth of archives, 5-6 years worth of archives. Yeah, 6 years, going on 6 years, I should say. We began in, what, June of 2009, and we just turned the clock for 2015. So we're going on 6 years, man, 6 years. It's crazy. But we got a great program lined up, or a set of programs lined up for this year. We might even introduce a brand new show. Still in the works with that. Not sure if it's going to take place or not, but it's in the works. We brought to you last year the Extra Point with Lance Goodman. He might be wrapping up seasonal show as he prepares to study and get ready for next football season. But JT and I are definitely going to jump into baseball and discuss that. I'm not that good at it. I'm not going to lie. However, I will take my lumps and my bruises just to learn how to play this fantasy sport. I like watching baseball now. As a kid, I loved playing it, couldn't stand watching it because it was boring and slow and all that. But now that I'm an adult, I know the differences and the why things are being done. So I have a better understanding, and I appreciate it more. And now I want to play fantasy for it. So we're bringing that to you, 2015, and all this stuff can also be heard right on spotonradio.webs.com, where winners, winning players, not winners, winning players, but that's a different promo there. Spot on Radio is where .webs.com is where we have our streaming radio station, 24/7, 365, where we're going to play all of our shows from the past week. And most recently, I posted all of our prognostication shows from the summer. So we covered the NFC and the AFC and their divisions. And if you go to spotonradio.webs.com, normally the regular whatever's airing is going to air. But you can go down in the middle of the page, and on demand, there's an on-demand section. In that section, you can go ahead and click on any of our summer shows where we talked about and broke down every division. Now, I wasn't on every show, so some of the commentary might not be the best, but, JT was on the show, and I'm quite sure he gave you a lot of information. But here's what you can do, ladies and gentlemen. You can see if we were right. You can check out all of our predictions. You can hear everything we have said from day one. Day one. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we weren't far off on a lot of our predictions. Now, I lost a few bets, got it, but we weren't far off from our prediction. And, I'm here to tell you, not only will you be able to hear our latest and greatest episodes from this network, but when you listen to those streaming, on-demand summer shows, you're going to want to come back. You're going to want to come back. I guarantee it. I promise you. Right now I'm having a little technical difficulties with the board, so JT18 Money, I want you to hold on. I'm trying to bring them in, but I'm having some issues here, so bear with me, ladies and gentlemen, as I get you ready for the show. Let's talk about, I'm trying to fix this. Let me get this. I know Jerry doesn't want to discuss this. I know he doesn't. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to talk about it because I know this is not one of his favorite topics. Sorry, JT. I know how much you love MMA, but I really think you're going to love this bout here between John Jones and Daniel Cormier, because it's going to be a fight. It is a fight. These guys have fought in the press conference, in hallways, all over. I'm dead serious on the fence. All over, except in the octagon. They genuinely do not like each other. Now, I'm going to put it to you this way. The reason why I think they don't like each other, ladies and gentlemen and Jerry, is because Daniel Cormier, as I said, was in strike force. He was in strike force. And he was calling John Jones out even before he got to the UFC. And when he got to the UFC, he thought he was still the best, at, you know, this, that, and the third. And he called John Jones out after his first fight in the UFC. Now, Daniel Cormier came into the UFC as a heavyweight because he was a Strikeforce heavyweight champion. And, again, I told you guys earlier that he helps train and works with the UFC heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez. So they're buddy-buddy. So Daniel Cormier said he's never going to fight for the heavyweight title as long as Cain Velasquez is in that division and wants the title. That's his buddy, loyalty. So he set his sights on John Jones. Now, these guys, again, John didn't provoke it, but he plans to finish it. And, Jerry, I got you on the air. Glad to have you, my friend. So let me get into this. And I'm not sure if you have plans on watching this UFC fight or not, but I think you should, really. But John Jones is 20-1. His only loss is by disqualification. He claims he didn't hear the referee say stop, and he threw an elbow to his opponent. That was his one loss. Daniel Cormier is 15-0. As I said, coming from Strike Force, he was a big name, and he works with Cain Velasquez and all that other good stuff. But he's 15-0. He's won half, a little more than half of his wins by knockout, 53%. Now, again, this guy's a wrestler. He's a wrestler. And John has won his by 40%. And, you know, there's a big height difference. John Jones has a 4-inch height advantage. He's 76 inches to Daniel Cormier, 71 inches. Now, here's the deal, Mr. Taylor. Daniel Cormier, his takedown defense is 100%. John Jones' takedown defense is 96.5%. Now, John Jones was exposed a little bit when he fought Gustafsson. Now, Gustafsson is the same height as John Jones and just about the same ability as John Jones, and I can understand him giving him a hard fight. But in this fight, John Jones takes down his opponent 50% of the time, whereas Daniel Cormier does 48.65% of the time. These guys are pretty evenly matched other than height. Experience-wise, they're about the same. But this fight seems to be the one everybody has wanted. Now, they haven't fought over the past couple years, I mean, the past couple months, because of injuries to both participants. It's supposed to end the year last year, but it's going to start the year 2015. Do you have any insight on this John Jones Daniel Cormier fight, or do I need to expound more for you? Mr. Taylor.
What's up?
I said, do you have any insight on this fight between John Jones and Daniel Cormier, or should I expound a little more for you?
Keep going.
That's Jerry Taylor's way of saying I'm not interested that much. anyway, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I know there's going to be two great NFL matches going on tonight, but if you don't see the preliminaries on Fox Sports 1, it's supposed to be a couple good fights on the preliminaries, and the last two fights on the main card, Donald Cerrone versus Miles Jury, that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. You got to see the main event, John Jones versus Cormier. That fight normally will probably happen around 11:30 p.m. Eastern, something like that. Maybe both NFL games would be off, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be one hell of a matchup between these two. As I said before, they have physically fought in the hallway of the hotel lobby this past week. Prior to that, they physically fought at the original face down, and it was a national thing that got national coverage because they really went at it, really went at it, and embarrassed the UFC. But at the same time, it brought a lot of attention to this fight and the UFC. So I'm telling you, if you get a chance, check it out. Mr. Taylor, before I go to a break, is there anything you want to say about the UFC or this fight, or this card for that matter?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. All right, ladies,
yeah,
when we come back.
I'm not, you know, I don't know too much about it. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know too much about it. So rather than sound too stupid and not know what I'm talking about, I defer to you.
Okay. That's understandable. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into the stories within the stories. The Cowboys versus Lions, Panthers versus Cardinals, Steelers versus Ravens, and Colts versus Bengals. Stick with me. It's your boy FSC along with JTAT and Money here in the FSP Saturday edition of Fantasy Sports and Politics. We will be right back.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the Extra Point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on the Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mitch Smith from Chef Street back at you. Doing what I do is I do for you all day, every day. Hey, hey, what you got to say? Along with me is my man from the Wu-Tang Clan, Mr. Jerry, a.k.a. ATM. Always takes money. I'll give him his props, a little jerk. Taylor, sounds like he's in the background doing some type of construction. I don't know what the man is doing, but he knows he's got a show to do, but he's making all this noise. So, JTATM money. Let's go inside the story. The story within the story. And I'm talking about the Cowboys versus Lions. Everybody's talking about Ndamukong Suh. And the fact that he, you know, got his suspension overturned and that it was a calculated move because he knew he had 33 days or 32 days, whatever it is, 32 games to stay out of trouble before he was hit with a big fine or suspension. And some say that he kept out of trouble just long enough for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the big nasties, the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to take my hated rivals, the Cowboys. I want you to tell the folks the story within the story for this game. How do you see the Detroit Lions facing up at Jerry's World, and your thoughts on who's going to win?
Well, it's going to be a lot of, I would say a lot of bad blood, but it's always ratcheted up in the playoffs, meaning the intensity, meaning the quite naturally it's one and done. It's not like the regular season where you can go on to the next game and try to make amends in order to get to where you're at right now, which is the playoffs. You can't do that. So it's going to get nasty, and I wouldn't be surprised that there'd be some chippiness, especially on the Detroit Lions side. Now, Barry Church has talked about Golden Tate, and there's been some bad blood in there. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen in this game. You can look in the secondary. You can look in the Detroit receivers against the secondary, the Dallas Cowboys, the offensive line against the defensive line of the Detroit Lions versus the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. How well they protect Tony Romo, seeing that DeMarco Murray may not run that well because of Detroit's defense against the run versus the pass, which is their weakest part of their defensive game. There's a lot of plots and storylines that can happen here. Is Dez Bryant going to take advantage of the Detroit DBs? Is the Detroit wide receivers going to get some retribution or going to get some revenge? Or I should say the Dallas Cowboys secondary going to get some type of revenge on the Detroit receivers, especially Golden Tate? I'm anxious to see this. Both of these quarterbacks are on the hot seat. One's won one playoff game. The other, I don't think, has won a playoff game, meaning Matthew Stafford, who hasn't won one, and Tony Romo, who's only won one and expected to do more because of the way this Cowboys season has gone. So a lot of these, both of these quarterbacks are on the hot seat. A lot of things going on in this game. I'm very interested to see it. And I like the Dallas Cowboys at home against a mistake-prone Detroit Lions on the road.
Now, Mr. Taylor, of course, I'm going to be the contrary to what you're saying. And I'm going to go in depth a little bit here. Here's the deal. You've got the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry's World, where Baylor just, and again, I wanted to tweet this and Facebook it, but I didn't. We had Kirk Cousins going against RG3 yet again. Michigan State going against Baylor, Michigan State edging out Baylor. I wanted to throw that in there. I love my boy RG. Hopefully things work out for him, and Kirk stays as a backup. But in Jerry's World, you've got, as you said, a very good team that seemingly is balanced, very, very balanced. The Dallas Cowboys, they can run the ball, they can throw the ball, they can pass block, they can run block. Going against a team that has the best-ranked run defense. Now, last week versus Eddie Lacy, they didn't look that good. They did not look at that run defense. Not at all. Their pass defense looked pretty good, but their run defense was woeful, which allowed for Aaron Rodgers to come out in the second half and open it up because people were worried more about Eddie Lacy. Here's the problem that I see. I see DeMarco Murray running very hard in this game and getting banged up a lot in this game. Does that mean, you know, his hand's going to be a factor in it? I don't know. I don't see him catching a lot of screen passes. I don't see him catching a lot of
of balls, but I do see him running to his left a lot. Why? Because he can then dip with his right shoulder and protect the ball in his left hand and have use the sideline as a extra precaution if he does fumble. Now, this also goes back to that whole issue of who's better, Megatron, Calvin Johnson, or Dez Bryant. So here's the opposite matchup. They don't play each other. Their production is solely dependent on their quarterbacks. And here's the problem here. Tony Romo, I don't know if you're going to get the good Tony or you're going to get the oh my God Tony. I really don't. Cole Beasley has turned it on this year, relegating Terrence Williams to an afterthought, but Terrence can be a big part of his game as a secondary receiver because, as I said, the feature between Calvin and Dez is going to be the highlight. We're not thinking about Golden Tate or Terrence Williams or Beasley or not even Jason Witten, Eric Ebron. We're not looking at these stories. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you right now, I hate the Dallas Cowboys, but the Dallas Cowboys has one of the best offensive lines. If you can give Tony Romo time, he will find all of these weapons. Even if Dez Bryant is singled or double covered, he will find these weapons. Now, here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. The Detroit Lions have Ndamukong Suh. Nick Fairley's not going to play. But you got Jiggy Ansah. You got Levy, who's had a hell of a year. And you've got a secondary that's got a couple rookies in it. One from Michigan State, by the way. He was supposed to be one of the better DBs coming into the draft. And it's proven it. He hasn't made that big of a splash, but he also hasn't given up a lot of big plays either. So the story within the story, let's go into the trenches. Let's see Ndamukong Suh versus that rookie center and those guards. Let's see Ziggy Ansah versus, you know, the high-paid left tackle of the Dallas Cowboys. Levy versus Murray. These are the stories that I'm talking about, guys. Now, they're at home, the Cowboys are. Unfortunately, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be a big-time performer. They went 8-0 on the road. 8-0 on the road. They finished the season, if I'm not mistaken, at 11-5. So their five losses came where? At home. They have a 3-5 record at home. That's not good. Now, if you recall, when the Texans came to Texas, well, to Jerry Jones's house, there were more Texan fans there, and the Cowboys had to go to a silent camp. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of Detroit Lion fans in the state of Texas. The fight will be won with Frederick going against Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh can be a force. I'm not saying he has to have sacks. I'm not saying he has to have tackles for loss. But if he can cause the Dallas Cowboys to change where they're running, where they're throwing, meaning making Tony Romo roll left, roll right, stepping up in the pocket, the Cowboys will lose this game. And again, yes, I don't like the Cowboys. I'm a Washington Redskins fan through and through. However, I do recognize talent. And it's going to come up front. If the Dallas Cowboys front line, their front five, can stick in there and protect, there's going to be trouble for the Detroit Lions secondary. But I don't think they can. I really don't. I really don't think they can. A good push up the middle will cause Tony Romo to have to chuck the ball down, and, you know, Cole Beasley or even Jason Witten or whoever is going to have to, you know, step up. Because the Lions play a lot of zone. A lot of zone. And with that being said, they play it because their front four can get pressure. They don't need to play man-to-man to get pressure and blitz. They can. Now, another thing Jerry didn't talk about that I wanted him to get into, but I didn't prep him, is Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush versus this Dallas Cowboy front four or front seven. I'm going to turn it back over to Jerry and see if he has a little bit more analysis on that before we move on. But I truly believe that the Dallas Cowboys, with a 3-5 home record this season, will lose this game. As Jerry said, both quarterbacks are on the hot seat. Stafford has never won a playoff game, I believe, because Stafford hasn't been in a playoff game. Romo has won one playoff game, but he's been paid a king's ransom to win a Super Bowl. And the comparison to the 90s Cowboys that this Cowboy team is getting, I think it's unfounded. Other than the offensive line. You don't have Eric Williams out there. You don't have Sabnosky out there. You don't have all those other guys out there blocking. But you have a young version of them. And in a year or two, I think they will be the most dominant offensive line in the NFL. But this year, this playoff, they're done in one. That's my analysis. JT, go ahead real quick. Talk about the running back situation with the Detroit Lions versus the Cowboys front seven. And then we're going to move on to the next game.
First of all, I have to clarify something here. And I mean, these two teams pretty much, even except it's a wash in the terms of how well they're going to play. Because Dallas is 4-4 at home, and Detroit is 4-4 on the road. So, in my opinion, that's a wash. That these folks, they're going to play the way they normally play, and depending on who gets the most in turnovers, it's going to win this game. Now, if you were playing FanDuel or DraftKings or you're doing some type of tournament, this is what I suggest you do. Don't play Reggie Bush. Don't like Reggie Bush at all in this game at all. At all. The play here is if you're going to use a running back and you want to use the Detroit running back, quite naturally you use Joyke Bell. Dallas is not that good, not that well against the run. They're, let me see now, they are 26th against the run. Eighth against the run and 26th against the pass. But Dallas can be run on. They're in the top 10, but they can be run on, and they have been run on at times this season. And Detroit's can run the ball. That's not their strong suit. These two teams are, I wouldn't say exact opposites of each other, but Detroit's less balanced than Dallas because Detroit is not a really good running team. Now, they're not a really good running team compared to Dallas. Their forte is passing the ball, and Dallas' forte is mainly running the ball because of the effectiveness of DeMarco Murray versus what Tony Romo's been doing because DeMarco Murray's been running that much more. So they're 28th in rushing. That's Detroit. They're 12th in passing, just like I said. And Dallas is second in rushing and 16th in passing. So how are they going to move the ball? Detroit's more than likely going to try to move the ball through the air. Dallas more than likely is going to try to move the ball on the ground. And conversely, those two defenses play against the offenses. So it's going to be a turnover game. Whoever wins the turnover game is going to win this game because the strength of each defense is the strength of the opposing offense. So
Well, let me ask you this, Jerry. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think Stafford's going to be more turnover prone, or do you think Romo's going to be more turnover prone? Because both of them throw interceptions. Both of them throw.
Stafford.
Really?
Stafford by far. By far. Stafford's more turnover prone than Tony Romo. Tony Romo, and I don't have the statistics in front of me. Tony Romo's only thrown nine interceptions this year. Okay? He's thrown nine interceptions this year. Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford got double digits. And I'm looking it up right now, but Matthew Stafford's got double digits. There's no doubt in my mind what he has. He's got,
here's the deal. Do you think that Romo has less turnovers this year because he has a running game or because he's making better decisions?
No.
I would say a little of both.
Because the fact is they're running the football more than they ever run it with Tony Romo on the center. And quite naturally, when you run the ball that much more, you limit the amount of times Tony Romo has to make a mistake in the passing game. And the passes are a lot more more high percentage because the fact is you have an effective running game and you pull the safeties up, and now you got one-on-one coverage with Dez Bryant or Terrence Williams. So that's what I'm talking about. Matthew Stafford's got 12 interceptions. Tony Romo's got 9. Matthew Stafford's thrown the ball away eight times. So he's got 20 turnovers compared to probably Tony Romo's probably doesn't have even close to that. So I know Tony Romo, like I said, has nine interceptions. And he's got, let me see how many fumbles he's gotten. What the hell happened there? Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the deal. But here's what I'm saying, though, JT.
Yep, I'm listening.
Any quarterback that has a strong run game isn't going to throw the ball a lot. And they're going to be less likely to have mistakes because they're going to be able to fit the ball into the zones or into the holes because teams are sucking up their linebackers. They'll see more one-on-one. I don't know if the Cowboys can stop Joy Bell in the power running game of the Lions. Now, I know Joy is dealing with the Achilles issue, so Reggie Bush or any of those linebackers is a mismatch, in my opinion. So whether he's coming out the backfield on screens or if he's slotted out there as a receiver or if he's running the ball, I think Reggie Bush has a threat in here, not a big threat. Like you said, I wouldn't pick him up and play him in any of these other fantasy things here, but I think it's tough to just count him against that defense. But I'm going to let you have the last word before we go to break. You got a minute.
Yeah, I don't like Reggie Bush in this game. He walks, looks, and sounds like a duck. That's exactly what it was. He's been a duck all season. Reggie Bush has been nondescript all season. I don't expect him to already suddenly rise up in this game and be the beast that some people may have drafted him in fantasy this past season. He's been a huge disappointment, and I don't think he's going to make a difference in this game. I'd be very surprised. I have more faith in Joy Bell than I would in Reggie Bush. He's a change of pace guy, and Joy Bell is more versatile than Reggie Bush. Can catch the ball out of the backfield, can run between the tackles, can run outside of the tackles, and can catch the ball in space. Reggie Bush is very limited in what he can do to be effective. So that's why he has a reduced role and Joy Bell has an expanded role because of the versatility of Joy Bell. And the power running game against the Cowboys is, especially with Joy Bell, the big back, it will hurt the Cowboys a lot more than the smallest frame of Reggie Bush. So that's why I'm saying Joy Bell is Reggie Bush can make splat a lot of splash plays, but he hasn't been, and I don't expect him to do this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that wraps it for our Cowboys versus Lions Jerry has the Cowboys. I have the Lions. We will see what happens. We're going to step away, take a quick break. When we return, we're going to break down the Panthers versus the Cardinals. Stick and stay with me. It's your boy FSP along with JTH and Money right here on Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. FSP back at you doing what I do to do for you all every day along with me. It's my man, my ace in the hole, JT ATM Money. We just broke down the Dallas Cowboys versus Detroit Lions game. It seems as though we agree on certain aspects of that game, but not completely. Let's just say that. We agree to disagree on certain aspects of the game.
That's
hopefully
nothing
you
new.
Guys... Say again.
That's nothing new.
That is true. That is nothing new. But let's talk about a game that I think we might agree on. We might agree on. And well, maybe not. Maybe not. But we'll discuss it. We're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers hosting the once dominant Arizona Cardinals. And this goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, even if you got a statue of Carson Palmer at quarterback, how important that quarterback is. Because Arizona went from the best team in the entire NFL to a wild card team. And yes, Mr. FSP did predict that the Cardinals were going to make the playoffs in the place of the San Francisco 49ers. And if you go back and listen to right on spotonradio.web.com, go back to it. That's spotonradio.web.com, and on the on-demand section, check out the breakdown of the NFC West. Listen how Jerry, and I believe my cousin, laughed at me when I said that the 49ers would not make the playoffs and the Cardinals would take their place. I just want to throw that out there. But, excuse me, we're going to talk about this matchup because you have a team that was less than 500 winning their division, hosting a playoff game versus a team that had double-digit wins, considered to be the best team in the NFL for a time, and now might be one and done. JT, I'm going to give you your Cam Newtons. No, you know what? I'll do this for you. Since I set you up like that, I'll let you have the Cardinals, and I'll take the Panthers. Have at it, my friend.
All right. I'm clapping for you, Victor, because you called it right that the San Francisco 49ers would not make the playoffs, and Arizona would. Sorry for laughing at you. It won't be the first or the last time. Anyway. the Carolina Panthers that won the last four games to make their run to get into the playoffs with a 7-8-1 record. Unfortunately, the Arizona Cardinals have lost their last two and are limping in to the playoffs with a record of 4-4 on the road. But just like the last game we talked about, the road team is 4-4 with a 4-4 record. The home team is with a 4-4 record. That's people. The Carolina Panthers are 4-4 at home. They do their best work, if you can say that, on the road where we're at 3-4-1. But this is a revived defense. The defense that most people were looking for that were played lights out last year, they've made
them. You have the Cardinals. I've got the Panthers. You have the Cardinals.
I understand that. Just relax. I got this, right? Just relax. Have been playing lights out and are going up against a quarterback in Ryan Lindley who stares his receivers down. And it didn't take long for the defense, whoever the Cardinals are playing, to pick up on that. And once the team that was being talked about as a possible Super Bowl contender, it's just like Victor said, a strong possibility of one of the teams that are going to be one and done. They're going to be relying on their defense heavily in this game and probably their run game. But Bruce Arians, as always, has said, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who's hurt and who's playing, who's taking that position up of who's hurt, and it doesn't make a difference if it's quarterback or whatever position we're talking about here, we're going to be doing our thing. We're going to be doing the same thing. So Bruce Arians likes to push the ball down the field. Michael Floyd decided to wake up last week. And Larry Fitzgerald has been an afterthought and very inconsistent along with Michael Floyd because of the quarterback play and the carousel of quarterbacks going in and out between Ryan Lindley, Drew Stanton, and quite naturally, the starting quarterback who's no longer starting, he's on the IR, Carson Palmer. They're going to have issues with a revised defense in Carolina, who I'm playing in my tournaments in FanDuel, and not playing any Arizona Cardinal whatsoever. I pick it Arizona is going to go home one and done. When they had strong aspirations for the Super Bowl, because the defense won't be able to keep Carolina offense down for long if they're always on the field. That's all I got.
All right. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry was writing a synopsis of Ryan Lindley. He stares down at his receivers, and it causes for interceptions. That's why I think Arizona might rely heavily on Keelan Williams, I believe his name is, the running back, to set up that play action.
Now, you are terrible on names. It's Kerwin.
Whatever.
Kerwin. No, it's not whatever. It's no never whatever. Person's name is that person's
name. Listen, there's a reason
Kerwin
why
Williams.
I said whatever. There's a reason
Kerwin
why I
Williams.
Said whatever.
Kerwin Williams.
Thank you.
Whatever means you're blowing me off and you're blowing the person's name off. Kerwin Williams.
Okay, Sherwin Williams, the Minko man. Whatever. The bottom
no,
line.
No, Kerwin.
Oh my God.
Kerwin. Not Sherman.
Can I?
No, not unless you get his name right.
I'm not going to talk about him anymore.
Go ahead.
Look, Mike Golick, shut it up. All right, so.
Kerwin, go ahead.
So here's the deal. I think Arizona's going to rely heavily on him in the run game to loosen up so that there will be some zones and areas for Leland to throw the ball in. Now, here's the deal. The
past couple of games, I believe you said the last four games the Panthers have won, Jerry, and they won it on the strength of Cam Newton. They didn't win them on the strength of their defense. This goes to show you how difficult and how hard it is for the Panthers to do anything aggressively without who on that defensive line? Greg Hardy. They've been trying to find someone to help out in that area for a very long time this season. Now, I have the Carolina Panthers in the sense that Carolina, their secondary is atrocious. It is atrocious. If Leland can find a way to get the ball to Brown, to Fitzgerald, to Floyd, this will be a runaway game for the Arizona Cardinals because Carolina is not that good. They're not. I do believe that Kelvin Benjamin is going to get locked down. He will be locked down for this game. Do not expect much from Kelvin Benjamin in this game. Another person that had a great year but fizzled out at the end because of injury is Greg Olsen. Now, that means Ed Dixon, the former Baltimore Raven, is the one that's going to get a lot of attention. A lot of attention. Does Cam have any other receiver to throw to other than Benjamin or his tight end? Yes and no. He seemingly does not have the confidence in Kadri or anybody else to throw them the ball. So you might see the Sherman tank Cam Newton in this game, which is going to be detrimental to him because there are some ball-hawking sharks that can hit in that Arizona secondary. That leads me to Jonathan Stewart. Do not expect Jonathan Stewart to do anything, much of nothing in this game. If anything, Arizona has a very strong run defense, very strong. With that being said, you have nothing. Mike Tolbert is an afterthought. You shouldn't even be thinking about him. Arizona is going to win this game despite their quarterback. I look for this, and I'm being honest, I look for this to be a black and blue game. Unless Arizona and Bruce Arians can design the plays, but he can't execute them, unless Arizona finds a way to spread the ball around and score early, this is going to be a black and blue game with Arizona coming out on top. I like Carolina. You know, they're getting hot at the right time, but they just don't have enough healthy weapons to move forward in this tournament. Yes, it's the number four seed, and they're going to have a home game. And if an upset happens, because if they win, they would still have to go to number one. And unless number six wins and play there, but I don't see Carolina doing much of anything in this game, least of all winning. And this is the first game on the docket. Yeah, it's the first game on the docket at 4 p.m. Eastern. I don't see Carolina winning at all. Unfortunately for them, that's the case. But this is what happens when you let a Steve Smith go away and you don't have someone else that you're comfortable with playing catch with your quarterback. Greg Olsen, he's been phenomenal all year, but he's nicked up and hurt. You can't rely on Greg the whole game. Not in the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you something, Victor. Let me ask you something. The regular season versus the playoffs, what position do you rely on the most in the playoffs?
Of course, the quarterback. Of course, and I know where you're going with that.
Okay.
And that's the reason why
In the playoffs, you rely on the quarterback to make plays in order for you to move on to the next round. And of all the quarterbacks that are playing in the playoffs right now, just name them.
right now in this particular round right now, you got Ben Roethlisberger, you got Andrew Luck, you got Joe Flacco, you got Tony Romo, Matthew Stafford, and you got Cam Newton and Ryan Lindley. Who is the worst quarterback out of the ones I just named?
I mean, that's not even a real question because we already know which one is the worst. But
that's the point I'm making. Ryan Lindley is the worst quarterback out of all the quarterbacks that are playing this weekend right now.
But you can say the same thing about the quarterback play, as Tony Romo has had great weapons with him, but he's never won, and he's sputtered. You've had Ben Roethlisberger.
You're wrong here. Okay, you're going back on revisionist history. You're going back on things that happened in the past. And this is wait a minute. Listen to me. Now I've been saying this about this guy, not to you and to Lance and to some other people that are stuck on this Tony Romo thing, because of how he's paired in the past. And this is what I've been saying: whole new season, whole new Tony Romo, and a whole new different way the Cowboys have of approaching each game. And I'm telling you, Tony Romo is going to ball out today. Absolutely ball out this weekend. He's going to ball out. Because the fact is, the mindset of the Cowboys is not to throw the ball. The mindset is to run the ball, and give Tony Romo the best opportunity to pass the ball effectively down the field to Jason Witten, Beasley, Bryant, and Williams. And he's done that. And then big spots where people think he's going to falter this year, he has not. In fact, he's balled out. He went the exact opposite way. Pressure, when he played the second time against the Philadelphia Eagles, balled out. Pressure when he played the Washington Redskins, everybody thought they were going to rest everybody. Killed the Washington Redskins. Balled out. Thought he wasn't going to play well. I'm telling you, this is a totally. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I'm a football fan. I can see what's happening. And the Dallas Cowboys have a total different mindset than they've had in the past. And a lot of people are going back on what they've done in the past. And this is a different Dallas Cowboys. Different Dallas Cowboys altogether. And they have an offensive coordinator that used to be in Detroit and saw how well Detroit was, and now they're over into Dallas, and they're balling out. Scott Linehan.
Jerry.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the game we're talking about. But
that's true.
It's okay. So what I'm going to do is we're going to move on because
Go ahead.
I disagree. But the focus is Carolina. Carolina has no shot. Thank you. You're absolutely right. They have no shot.
Arizona has no shot. No shot.
I disagree. But
can't get past quarterback play. You have no shot.
Oh, my God. This dude is going to make me smack him in the face. Whether or not Cam Newton can perform, is going to be the difference if Carolina has a shot. I believe against that Arizona defense, it will relegate him, Cam Newton that is, to be as effective as Arizona's quarterback. And with that being said, I believe that Arizona has the better set, special teams, defense, and enough offensive players to win the game. However, it all depends on the performance of Cam Newton, and he doesn't have much to work with. But we're going to move away from that because you're picking Carolina, I'm picking Arizona, which is, you know, again, not unusual. I thought we were on the same page, but of course I was wrong because some people just aren't as bright as me. But
we're about to talk about the Steelers and Ravens. And when we talk about the Steelers and Ravens, in any capacity, whether it's regular season, preseason, and especially the playoffs, they deserve a little bit of something like this.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing. Leave nothing.
Speaking of champions.
Don't even do it. Don't even. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Shut it up.
Yeah, you set it up. You opened the door when you replayed that.
I set it up for the Ravens and the Steelers. That's what I set it up for.
You do what champions do. Leave nothing.
You know what? Shut up. Just shut it up. We'll get to that at the end of the show. Anyway, the Baltimore Ravens are going into this battle versus their division opponent and hated rival, the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco has a spectacular playoff record. So does Jim Harbaugh. They've been joined at the hip ever since. The problem is this. Pittsburgh doesn't have Le'Veon Bell. And that's a big problem. Now, since your head's been riding these guys all year, and I agree with them, totally agree with them on it. I'm going to let them have Pittsburgh, and I will take the Baltimore Ravens. JT, you're up first.
Well, I'm loaded with Pittsburgh Steelers in my tournaments in FanDuel. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and believe it or not Martavius Bryant, but Marcus Wheaton. And I even sprinkled a little Josh Harris in there. Now, I know most people are going to say, well, Josh Harris is not going to play a role. Surprise. He's going to play a role. I know they say that there's going to be a sprinkle of Trey Archer and Ben Tate, who they just acquired. If you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the most potent offenses in the league that I've been touting ever since the preseason about this offense, and I've been laughed at by certain people, now I'm not mentioning any names, downplaying the fact that these guys were in that offense and Todd Haley. And I even told you earlier before the fantasy started that Todd Haley was going to open the reins up or release the reins from Ben Roethlisberger to do a little bit more freelancing and no huddle. And that's what happened. And they have one of the most potent offenses in the league going against one of the worst secondaries in the league against Baltimore. Baltimore is pretty stout against the run. Le'Veon Bell only had about 50, 60 yards, somewhere around that, last time these two teams met. Le'Veon Bell's not there. Josh Harris is going to be the lead back. I like Josh Harris as a sleeper, especially in these tournaments, and I like the combination of what they have on offense in Pittsburgh. They're playing at home. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 6 touchdowns 2 weeks in a row at home. He's thrown for almost an average of 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns in his home games. Pittsburgh is 6-2 at home. Baltimore is 4-4 on the road. I'm absolutely loving Pittsburgh in this game. And I'm even I haven't put the kicker in there, but the kicker, this offense is going to be able to move the ball. These two teams do not like each other, but if you looked at the offense and the weapons that they have on one side or the other, regardless of how bad the defense or the mediocre the defense is Pittsburgh, they're going to be able to put some points up on the board, and Baltimore has got to be able to match them. I don't think it's going to happen. I love Pittsburgh in this game.
We finally agree. Lance has a couple questions, too. He wants to know who we're picking. I told him to listen to the show because we've been opposites up until this point. Speaking of FanDuel, Mr. Taylor, I'm about to create a FanDuel league. I want to go head-to-head with you and anybody else out there. The league is S110057480. I'm sending you a personal invite.
Oh, okay.
I'm sending you a personal invite.
Okay.
Hey, Taylor. So don't worry about that there.
Okay.
But Jay Taylor 324, right?
I'm in 8 tournaments in FanDuel, so I'm shooting for it. I haven't played FanDuel all year, and I love this weekend.
Is it JTaylor324@gmail?
JTaylor342@comcast.net.
All right.
So if anybody wants to email me, feel free to email me at J, as in the letter J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 342. The number is 342, @comcast.net.
I'm going to let you expound just a little bit more why I set this league up. Go ahead and finish saying what you were saying about this matchup. Go a little bit in depth into the lack of running game, and give me like 2 minutes.
You talking to me?
Yeah, you. Who else is on the line?
Wait a minute. What were you saying? I
want you to go in depth in the lack of running game for Pittsburgh, how Dre Archer and the other kid are going to have to perform. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, because the fact is Le'Veon Bell's out, most experts consider that to be a license to have Ben Roethlisberger throw the football that much more because of the Baltimore Ravens are so stout against the run. They're in the top 10 against the run. They're one of the worst teams against the pass. They're top 4. They allow less than 100 yards against the run, and they're 23rd against opposing passing. So, quite naturally, most people think they're going to run the ball. I tend to disagree. I think they're going to still do the same thing they've been doing unless they can. They're going to try to run the ball because, quite naturally, even though they have Mike Munchak as the offensive line coach for Pittsburgh, who has turned that offensive line around from what it used to be in the last couple years and Ben Roethlisberger getting beat up, and made a salvageable offensive line, especially against the pass, I think they're still going to try to run the football and throw the Baltimore Ravens off their game of thinking that, okay, because they don't have Le'Veon Bell, they're going to use running backs by committee, we're going to tee off on Ben Roethlisberger because they're going to have to rely on Ben Roethlisberger to win the game. Quite naturally, in playoff games, like we talked to earlier, I think they're going to still have to rely on the quarterback, but they're still going to want to run the football because that's what they do. That's how their offense goes, running the football, and it's Josh Harris. Trust me when I tell you, I think he can run the football effectively, but you got to be able to stay with him. You can't just give up with a half a dozen carries and think, well, he can't run the football to Baltimore. He's a bigger back, but he's got some quicks to him. So I think Josh Harris, in my opinion, is a sleeper, especially in these daily fantasy leagues If you want to pick a running back, I like Josh Harris, and I put him in all my lineups that I have going in FanDuel.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, JT. I just sent out the invites for this league and all that. But I'm not a big Josh Harris fan. However, one question I wanted to bring up is Justin Forsett. It's raining very badly in Pittsburgh, and Forsett is a pretty good running back. And I've got the Baltimore Ravens, and we're going to have to go in overtime with the last two games, but we'll be quick about it. I think that Justin Forsett might have the best game out of all of them as far as on a muddy field. However, I'm not a big fan of Justin Forsett in this game, mainly because he hasn't done a lot. He hasn't produced a lot in the Heinz Field. Steve Smith is the guy that you might want to look at and say, you know, maybe I'll pick up Steve Smith in one of these leagues. Maybe I'll try this. Maybe I'll... There's a lot of, opportunity for folks to get in here and grab guys cheaply. You understand what I'm saying here? You can grab some of these guys really inexpensively on FanDuel or DraftKings. I'm a DraftKings guy and a FanDuel guy. I love DraftKings commercials. They're funny as hell. But if I'm looking at this game, I'm looking at the ability to run the ball and the ability to stop the run. Haloti Ngata is back. He's feeling fresh, and that cannot be good for a team, especially a Pittsburgh Steelers team that does not have their big workhorse. It's going to be tough, bro. It is going to be tough. I think that both the both running backs for Pittsburgh are going to find it tough running the ball against a fresh Haloti Ngata and the rest of that Baltimore Ravens defense. Now,
okay.
The secondary is suspect. I will give you that. And Ben should be able to throw on them, but it's going to be tough to run on these guys. Now, on the other side, Joe Flacco. I'm not saying they're primed for a run at the Super Bowl. I think that they are a little bit more equipped to win this game than Pittsburgh. However, with that being said, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win this game. I just think they have a little bit too much going for them right now, that the momentum is going to sway their way. Baltimore, they have a pretty good team. Once you look at it, they have a pretty good team. Torrey Smith hasn't been loud this year, but he came on in the middle of the year. Steve Smith came on at the beginning of the year. They got quiet at the towards the middle and end. But I think they're going to try to put it all together today. But my sneaky picks or players for FanDuel or something like that would be Steve Smith and possibly Justin Forsett, both of which you can get rather cheaply on either site. With that being said, we're going to move on because we got about, 18 minutes left alive there. We're going to do 15 minutes left alive there. So we're going to do one team one game in overtime. But we're both.
I have accepted your challenge.
Okay. We have 15 minutes left alive there, so we're going to move on to a game that really isn't getting that much pub, but could be an interesting game. And it's Cincinnati going to Indianapolis. I'll take Indy, you take Cincy, and we'll make this quick. Have at it.
Cincinnati. Oh, God. No T.J. Green. A.J. Green. Mohamed Sanu is probably going to be the guy to go to. I do not like – the lights are on. The lights are on. The big lights are on. And when that happens, I don't like Andy Dalton at all. Problems abound when Andy Dalton has to be under the magnifying glass. Don't like him at all. And But I do like Jeremy Hill. I think they're going to definitely be able to run the ball. I think, in my opinion, Jeremy Hill's the number one back for this week. He's the number one back going against that Indy defense that is not too stellar against the run. I like Jeremy Hill to do very well here. Andy Dalton, with Hugh Jackson as offense coordinator, I would think that he's going to rely more on the run versus the pass, even though Andrew Luck is going to try to run the score up. Check this out. These two quarterbacks, believe it or not, these two quarterbacks, when the lights are on, can be shaky. And Andrew Luck, even though he's had probably more comeback wins than Andy Dalton in beginning of games that are big high-pressure games, he has been very shaky. And then he's had to scramble to try to bring his team back. So I really can't trust both of these quarterbacks, even though Andy Luck is the better of the two. The only play I would have here, two plays I would have here, would be Mohamed Sanu. If Andy Dalton had to throw to somebody, it would be Mohamed Sanu to lean and hang his hat on. And Jeremy Hill, because Hugh Jackson loves to run the football. But I have to pick Indy because they're hosting Cincinnati. I have to pick Indy at home.
Mr. Taylor. Looks like we're only going to agree on one game. I'll agree with you. I think Jeremy Hill, out of all the running backs going this weekend, is the starlight of them all. I like Drake Bell as a number two in that case as well. But here's the deal. I got the Colts, right? The Colts
cannot
cover the tight end. Jermaine Gresham has stepped up, and he's become a little bit of a factor, right? So with that being said, I think the defense of the Colts are going to be the detriment to this game. I think you're going to see the number six seed, which is the Cincinnati Bengals, upset the number four seed, the Indianapolis Colts, for this reason. Davis cannot cover everybody. Davis is going to have Mohamed Sanu. Okay, Mohamed Sanu may or may not be that big of a play. Okay. You still got Tate, and you still have, I forget the other receiver they have, but they're indoors. They're not worried about rain. They're on turf. This is a Giovanni Bernard game. This is going to be one of those games where they're going to slam Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard up and down the field, and you're going to see a lot of screens. Because the Indianapolis Colts cannot cover from sideline to sideline very well. Up front, their pass rush is not that good. It just isn't. I got suspended at the beginning of the season for the performance-enhancing drugs. I can't remember his name. But he was for the Colts. Can't remember his name, but I remember. Okay. Well, anyway, he's not there providing the pressure. And that means that somebody's going to have to get to the quarterback. And I don't think they can do it. I really don't think they can do it. I think that the Colts have a lackluster, at best, defense. Pagano is doing what he can with them. However, his offense has been put in certain situations where Andrew Luck has had to throw the ball a lot. And that's why Andrew Luck is one of the leading causes of turnovers for this team. I believe he's second in the NFL in turnovers, but first in interceptions. T.Y. Hilton, I think they saved him for this game. I don't think he's going to be that effective in this game. I really don't. Reggie Wayne is a possible play. Moncrief, after that one game versus the Redskins, and I think the following week, he's been nowhere to be found. Hakeem Nicks, big disappointment. But Kobe Fleener is the guy in this game that you're going to want to get if you're in one of those leagues. Darren Horan,
or Daniel Horan, can't get his name right. As Jerry said, I'm bad with names. He's going to be a non-factor. So will Trent Richardson. Don't believe the hype, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Luck's going to have to throw the ball a lot in this game, and he's going to turn it over a few times. That's the danger of having no run game. And this also goes back to, and I believe we talked about it, I believe week 16, Jerry, the other videotape of Ray Rice and his situation came up, because I believe at the time he and his people were close to making a deal with either the Colts or the Cardinals, because that was the same time that Andre Ellington went down.
Right.
And then that video came out, again, reminding folks of what he had did. A lack of a running game is really, 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 really going to hurt Indianapolis in this game. I don't believe that Andrew Luck is done making the playoffs. Next year, retool that defense, and they'll be solid. But I do believe that the Colts are going to be one and done. They're going to make the playoffs as a South champion this year, and then they're going to be ousted unceremoniously by Cincinnati. I see Giovanni and Hill touching the ball 40 times all together, possibly. I see Andrew Luck forcing the ball into coverage a lot of times. A lot of times. And that does not bode well for anyone that is going to pick up, you know, Andrew Luck in these FanDuel or DraftKings games, because you have to think about it here. If T.Y. is okay, he still has to deal with Drake Kilpatrick or Pac-Man, along with Reggie Nelson over top. That leaves one-on-one for Reggie Wayne, who can still get it done, but has not, you know, in the last couple of weeks. Then you got Taylor Mays, a converted strong safety or free safety, who really, I play better than him, covering a tight end. That's where you have the matchup right there. That's a story within the story that started off with, ladies and gentlemen. Kobe Fleener versus Taylor Mays. All day I'm taking Kobe Fleener. All day. All day. But it's not going to be enough for the Colts to win the game. If you remember last year, they played the Chiefs in that crazy game where the defense couldn't stop anybody on either side. On either side. It's not going to be the high scoring of a game, but I do believe you're going to see that type of performance from the Colts defense where they can't stop anybody. It's going to be tough for them to win. Again, I'm breaking down the Colts here. It's just going to be tough, and I don't see the Colts doing much, so I'm picking the Bengals. A recap real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry and I disagree on every game except for the Pittsburgh game. I have the Cardinals. He has the Panthers. I have the Lions. He has the Cowboys. We both agree on the Steelers. I have the Bengals. He has the Colts. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. But anytime you have these types of games on the line, you have to think about it. Is it really, really something that's going to happen? Is your player that you're picking going to step up and provide for you? Reggie Wayne, you know, 9 TDs in the postseason. That's a big factor, but is he going to show up against Cincinnati, whose defense has been playing really, really well? They made Peyton Manning turn the ball over 4 times. Of course, it was at home in a terrible rainstorm, but still, they made Peyton Manning look human. I don't know what to tell you other than you're going to enjoy some games this weekend. You're going to enjoy some. You really are. JT, anything you want to add before we Yuri close this out?
What do I want to add? Oh, you know what?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your personal.
I'm talking about the games.
I'm talking about the games.
Excuse me?
We're talking about these games, not your game. These games. I'm going to get to your game.
No, there's nothing else I want to talk about. No, there's nothing else I want to talk about.
Okay.
Except for maybe tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Lance and I will be on the master plan. One of the things that we will talk about is the past fantasy season and the playoffs that we're talking about. And also, touched on it a little bit, but we're going to go into more on this tournament play, okay? And I know it started already on today, but I want to talk more about it and more about the teams that I that I've assembled on the FanDuel in particular, and how well we're faring from games today going into the games for tomorrow.
Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry has a premature celebration going on. However, it is well-deserved. And instead of him doing it in the background, I got a couple things I'm going to give to him.
I want winners.
And Jerry is one of those winners. And this is what Jerry's trying to play in the background, but I keep covering up.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody's hands go up. And they stay there.
Now, Jerry gets that because Jerry did win. Jerry, you have the floor for 1 minute, 1 minute exactly.
And every time I step up in the building, everybody gets hands go up. And when they put their hand up, they put that one finger up. And I'm not talking about the middle finger. They put that one finger up and says, I'm number one. And like I told Victor, and I'm like telling you, and you probably think, well, he's talking. Why is he talking? Because I can't talk enough and let you know that if you listen to our shows, Master Plan, FSP, the NFL Exporter, you should have won at least one league. You should have won at least one league. But the simple fact is, I don't care about the so-called experts. We go off the grid with a lot of our picks, and we help people win. That's all I can tell you. We help people win, and I just want you to let you know that. That's all. Just want to let you know that I'm not going to praise myself. I'm just going to say that. No, I'm not.
Okay.
With the crew we have. And I've included you, Victor, in this crew. With the crew we have, all we do is win. And we like to tell you when we win, regardless if you like the way we tell you or not. The bottom line is for you to get a win each week and in the process get a championship. That's one of the ways that's one of the reasons why we do this program, to help you get the best of your opponents. And if you listen next year, we're going to be doing the same thing year in and year out. Because that's what we do, and that's what we love. That's all I got, Mick.
All right, well, I'm going to give Jerry a little love here. He did win our Wolverines in the House Championship this year. One of the drafts that we did do on live air. And I got to give him the love that he deserves. As Lance blows up my text messages here. You, my friend, are a winner, and I got to give you credit. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going nowhere. We just getting better. it's time for us to say it. We out. Got love for you. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.